a full pot. With a hishe, I shall give. Of somasya, of soma rasa. Yagne, and sacrifice. Vam, of both of you. Api, although. Asoma paho, of you too. Who are not eligible to drink soma rasa. Kriyatam, just execute. May, my. Vayaha, young age. Rupam, beauty of a young man. Ramadhanam, of women as a class. Yat, which is. Ipsitam, desirable. Translation, Chaivana Muni said, although you are ineligible to drink some of rasa and sacrifices, I promise to give you a full pot of it. Kindly arrange beauty and youth for me because they are very attractive to young women. You can repeat, Chaivana Muni said, although you are ineligible to drink some of rasa and sacrifices, I promise to give you a full pot of it. Kindly arrange beauty and youth for me. Because they are attractive to young women. So there's no purport to this text. And we'll read the next few texts until we get to a sizable purport. So text 13. Varam mityu chatur vipram abhinanja vishak tamau anima jatam bhavanasmin rakte sira venirmite. The great physicians, the Ashwini Kumaras, very gladly accepted Chaivana Muni's proposal. Thus they told the Brahmana, just dive into this lake of successful life. That is, one who bathes in this lake has his desires fulfilled. Text 14. It dukto jadaya garasta deho dhammani santataha aradam raveshito shivyam bolipalita vikraha. After saying this, the Ashwini Kumaras caught hold of Chaivana Muni, who was an old, diseased invalid with loose skin, white hair and veins visible all over his body. And all three of them entered the lake. So, purport by Zivine Gray, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Chaivana Muni was so old that he could not enter the lake alone. Thus, the Ashwini Kumaras caught hold of his body and the three of them entered the lake. Short purport. So we'll read the next text. Purushastarya utastur abhivyavantapriyaha padmasraja kundalinas tuyarhupa suvasasa. Thereafter, three men with very beautiful bodily features emerged from the lake. They were nicely dressed and decorated with earrings and garlands of lotuses. All of them were of the same standard of beauty. So, text 16. Tanariksha varavoha sarupam surya vajasaha ajanati patim sabhi ashvinau sharanam yathyao. The chaste and very beautiful Sukanya could not distinguish her husband from the two Ashwini Kumaras, for they were equally beautiful. Not understanding who her real husband was, she took shelter of the Ashwini Kumaras. So, purport. Sukanya could have elected any one of them as her husband, but for one could not distinguish among them. But because she was chaste, she took shelter of the Ashwini Kumaras so that they could inform her who her actual husband was. A chaste woman will never accept any man other than her husband, even if there be someone equally as handsome and qualified. Okay, so Omaganath Sumadanda Shah Gananjana Shvakya Chaksur and Minitam Yena Tasmai Sigurvena Maha. So going back to the first verse that we read today, I just wanted to make reference because I noted this when I was reading it, that Chaivana Muni refers actually to his wife as a member of a class in this particular first verse. And the word he uses is pramadhana. That probably translates that as women, as a class, of women as a class. But the word pramada literally means like illusion, very illusioned. Like Prabhupada, Prakashti Rupena. So Prabhupada described that, you know, mada, it doesn't really mean mad in the sense of a clinical madness, but it means just someone who's bewildered or an illusion. So pramada means even more an illusion. So sometimes you find that women are described as pramadana, not because they're an illusion, but because if men become attached to the women or bewildered by the women, they put them in illusion. That's the point. And of course, it goes in the opposite direction, that if women are attached to men, and for a, let's say, the purpose of the sense gratification, material attachment to the body, then that is also complete illusion. Nunam pramada kurte vikarma yad indriya pritya pranati, as Lord Vishwadev says, you know, that because we're very attached to the senses, yad indriya pritya, just like you have this word priya or pritya. Priya, of course, means the husband would call the wife priya, which means dear. So indriya pritya means the senses are most dear. So one gets bewildered when one perceives the sense objects. Now, let's just unpack why Chaivana Muni is referring to his wife as Tramadana, or a member of the class of bewildering young girls, so to speak. Is because basically he's attractive. Like yesterday, of course, the discussion was very interesting. How that Drishtaprabhu was describing that this attraction or lust never goes away. Really, doesn't have. It's not completely connected with the gross body. It's actually there in the subtle body. And of course, the gross body does have its actions and interactions and hormones and all those other nice things. But really, the gross body fits over the subtle body. Just like Prabhupada described that the gross body is like a glove, and the subtle body is like another glove, of course, that fits over the subtle body, the gross body. And so it indicates your subtle body. Or for a devotee who becomes Krishna conscious in this lifetime, it indicates what their subtle body used to be. Which is interesting, because that sometimes there's a disconnect. This is actually a very interesting phenomenon I've observed with devotees. That someone purifies himself and changes the nature of the subtle body, or as they say, devotional service dissolves the subtle body. And then, but you're still stuck with the same gross body you got that used to fit on the subtle body. In other words, I mean, let's give like an example. Let's say one's had an operation on his hand and changed. Or let's not even use the hand. Let's say one has had they bypassed the cell. Well, put a clip on the stomach because you're overweight. Okay. And you have all your clothes that have been made for when you were challenged, so to speak, when you were big, you know, like size 80 sweaters and everything like that. So all of a sudden you have this this surgery where you clip either. You know, there's different types of surgeries. One type of surgery is where you actually clip the stomach to make it smaller. Actually, it doesn't work, but that's another point. Another surgery is where they actually tie your teeth together. So all you can do is sip. Can't eat that much at that particular point. And so then you lose weight. And so you lose weight, and you, let's say the metaphor I'm using is like your clothes are like your gross body, and your actual body is like your subtle body. That's the metaphor. Okay, everybody got that? So you lose weight, and so your subtle body changes, which is the gross. I think that's a funny metaphor. So, but your clothes, they don't fit you anymore. So I've seen that with people who become spiritually advanced, because previously they've got a gross body based upon their subtle body. But the subtle body changes by the performance of devotional service, you know, Cheto, Darpanam, Arjunam, Bhava, Mahadvagni, Nirvapanam. And you're stuck with this thing that doesn't really fit you anymore. Has anyone experienced that? Yeah, it's just like, it's still, you know, the thing's still the thing. Yantra. Actually, it's not a good idea to turn off the lights when it's still so dark. I notice everyone has the habit of turning off the lights out there. You just did it. You can't hear what I said. And it's still dark out there. Anyway, the purpose of the lights is to light the path so people can come up. Not so it goes off at a certain time of the day. So, anyway, getting back to the point, is that you know, the subtle body is no longer interested in these things, but the gross body seems to be still interested in those things. So it's sort of like a disconnect that many of us have experienced in Krishna consciousness. I don't know if any of you can relate to it, but that's one thing I've perceived. So anyway, getting back to Chaivanamuni, in spite of being just such a great Muni, is very attracted to young women. You know, his desire for enjoying young women has not gone away, which is another proof that the desire doesn't go away even if the body gets old, the body is useless and doesn't function anymore. Of course, Prabhupada talked about how old men sometimes, I think Vishnu mentioned this, they go to the nightclubs, you know, the Prabhupada called it topless, bottomless. That was Prabhupada's. You know, they're old men, you know, what can they do about it? And then sometimes Prabhupada was talking about how old men, they would take the glands from monkeys. And that actually was, they sometimes take the glands from monkeys in Vrindavan, too. They take the glands from monkeys in Vrindavan, and then they would implant them, have them implanted by a doctor, of course, within themselves. And Prabhupada said, they are taking the glands from one monkey and putting it into another monkey. And now, of course, you know that there's this most popular drug. Yeah, anyway, I give the name of it. It's Viagra. And there's also other drugs that are very similar to that. And, you know, that's the most widely sold drug in America and probably in the world. I don't know about the world. And it sometimes kills old people. It's amazing because it's prohibited to be sold to men beyond a certain age. You know about that, because they can get a heart attack. You know, obviously, you know, you're just like old, and it's described here. You got the veins. You can see the veins, and the white hair or no hair. And then all of a sudden, you get all, you know, because the subtle body is still into it, you get all sorts of, you know, excited. Wow, she's beautiful like that, or whatever. And then you have a heart attack and die. And it's not an uncommon thing. So therefore, many old people, they obtain these drugs illegally because it's not legal for them. People beyond a certain age, or people with certain heart problems, or problems like that. You see the warnings on all these drugs, you know, side effects. They kill you. If you're in love, it may kill you. So, And then they have parties, you know, all the men get together and they have parties and they down take these drugs and they go after either prostitutes or their poor wives who are just like 95 years old. Yes. And all of a sudden their husband becomes, manifests himself. He's always been a lusty dog, but he manifests himself as a lusty dog. So anyway, so this is basically proof that this lust doesn't go away unless one changes the subtle body. And the only way for changing the subtle body is, as described in the previous verse, which Trishta Prabhu read, Nigama Kalpa Turor Kalitam Phalam. You take the fruit of the desire tree, the Vedic desire tree, which is Krishna consciousness, called Rasa Vajra Masha Vrsha, Param Drishadi Vartate. That's actually, of course, I was just repeating some of the things were spoken in class yesterday. A higher taste, a higher pleasure. And also getting absorbed in Krishna's names, Cheto Darpana Marjan, that somehow or other we have to be convinced, as my great God, Brother Jayananda said, everything is in the name. Everything is in the name. And we're not having that full faith. I mean, speaking for myself, not speaking for anyone else. We're not having that full faith that the name can solve basically any problem. Of course, it can't cure your, let's say if you have a hernia, it's not going to cure your hernia. I've tried it. It didn't work. So, but I mean, any sort of big problem we have in this world, which is the problem is birth, death, disease, and old age. And also, you know, psychological problems. I remember Prabhupada was confronted with a devotee who had psychological problems, and Prabhupada said he should just chant more. And I'm not saying that if someone has severe psychological problems, I just tell them to chant, don't go to the psychiatrist. Obviously, I tell them to go to the psychiatrist. But I personally experienced, and I don't have psychological problems, but I just personally experienced that if you just keep this chanting going all the time, and Prabhupada did that too. I remember seeing Prabhupada in a TV interview. He was chanting while the other man was asking him questions. Of course, don't be uncouth. And, you know, like I used to be with my mother when she was talking to me, I used to go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. You know, you have to have some good manners too. So, one thing I've discovered is that we should always keep this Mahamantra, not that I've discovered, this is something recommended by the Acharyas, Kirtaniya Sadhari, but we should always utilize every available moment for chanting the Lord's holy names. When one is even, you know, bathing or in the shower, because there's no hard and fast rules. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes Niyamena Tishtan. I mean, you don't chant your Gayatri mantra while you're in the shower, hopefully. Because you're not supposed to. It says there are hard and fast rules for chanting the Gayatri mantra. There are hard and fast rules for taking prasadam. You know, generally you shouldn't be standing up when you're eating. Although I see so many devotees, you know, they stand up and eat prasadam. Prabhupada said, sit down and eat prasadam. You have to be peaceful when you eat prasadam. And there's hard and fast rules for deity worship. You know, you gotta be clean when you go on the altar. You gotta clean clothes. You can't have gone to the bathroom. You know, wearing those clothes. You have to, and then there's punctuality, cleanliness, all those other things. But in chanting the holy name, even if your clothes are not clean, let's say you're fixing your car, chant Hare Krishna while you're fixing your car. Or, you know, like what I do, and of course I don't fix cars anymore. I used to do that a lot. When I wake up in the morning, and of course, other than when I'm brushing my teeth, you know, okay. Otherwise it would get all over the place. But, you know, I take a shower, you know, you're singing. Like the non-devotees, they talk about what? Singing in the shower? Ever hear about that before? No, never heard about that before. So, you sing when you're taking a shower. What's wrong with that? You go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You know, what's wrong with it? It's not against the rules and regulations. Because you don't take your japa beads into the shower, you don't take your japa beads while you're on the toilet or anything like that. But so if we keep this maha mantra there, not only will we have that higher taste and not be bewildered by, you know, either young men, young women, iPhones, or whatever else we're bewildered by, we will be happy too, and then we won't get depressed either. You know, sometimes, you know, it's my own life, I don't get depressed, but, you know, anxiety is, you know, you get all these emails right before you go to sleep, you know, especially about a temple, which you mentioned. Anyway, and then you start thinking about it all night long, about this problem or that problem. That's the problem with emails. You shouldn't really check them right before you go to sleep. You start thinking about them, and then you wake up in the morning, oh my God, another day. And then what I experience is you just start chanting, then it becomes blissful. You see things in the right perspective at that point. So anyway, so that's a little advertisement for chanting the holy name. So, glad you liked it. And also, Harinam too, so another advertisement for you. I mean, we just don't understand. We do so many things in the day, but we don't understand the importance of chanting the holy name. I mean, it's just like, then even a shower becomes ecstatic. Right? Or putting on your clothes becomes ecstatic. Or doing we should always have transcendental sound going. That's the point. Maybe when you're sleeping, you can't do it because it'll keep you up. I remember, I don't know, I want to get to the main topic. But anyway, when I was first at Sannyas, what I did, one of the things I bought was this endless tape. That was before they had like digital little chips where you could have Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 24 hours a day. So I set up this whole thing in a suitcase, or briefcase actually, with speakers on it. And I would put it on at night, and all night long it would go. You know, I would travel with this big thing, it would go all night long. Of course, I didn't sleep very well. So that's a little fanatic. Anyway, so getting back to the main point here, which is text 16, which deals with chastity. So it's interesting, this word chastity is used in different ways. Like if you take the word chastity in regard and apply it to a Catholic priest, does anyone know what that means?
Celibacy.
It means never getting married or anything like that. That's what it means in relationship to a Catholic priest. And chastity sometimes means not having a relationship at all. Chastity sometimes means, in this particular case, it means being faithful to one particular individual. And also, as Prabhupada defined the word chastity, it means not acting in such a way as to attract the minds of others, which is actually a very important point too. And this applies to men and women. I mean, we can attract people to Krishna, attract their minds to Krishna, but to attract their minds to our body, that's the point. So, however, you know, ladies or men dress, they should dress in such a way as not to attract people to their bodies. Because this is violence. You know, sometimes we talk about, you know, violence, but actual violence, according to Srila Prabhupada, is impeding another person's spiritual progress. Now, of course, there's the typical word of the typical definition of violence, which means to hurt someone, beat someone up, or kill someone. That's violent. But Prabhupada considered this type of violence to be even more important to avoid, which is to impede someone's spiritual progress. So, whatever we do, not only like attracting people to our body, but attracting people to illusion, like prajalpa. Like if we start to talk for japa with someone, that's violence. Because we're drawing them away from Krishna. we're attracting them to something else. So we have to be very careful to avoid this bondage. So being chaste here, in my mind, means being non-violent, or bringing people to Krishna. Because Krishna is our real husband, all of us. Krishna is actually Purusha, and the rest of us are Prakriti. There's that interesting story. Let's see if I remember it. I think it was Jiva or Rupa Goswami, and what was that lady's name? The one
Mirabai.
That they didn't want to. What? So Jiva Goswami said, you know, I'm not going to see any, I can't see any woman. And then Mirabai replied that actually we're all ladies, and actually Krishna is the Purusha. And so he agreed to see her. So ultimately, Krishna is the husband. I mean, maybe not in a direct, literal sense of all of us. Some of us, maybe, if we happen to go to Dwarka and be one of Krishna's wives. But, you know, literally or figuratively, Krishna is the husband and we're all Prakriti in relationship to Krishna. And so we should be chaste to Krishna. You understand? In other words, what does that mean? That means there's Maya, which means unchastity, being attracted to Maya. And there's chastity, being dedicated to Krishna. So if we pick someone else as our husband, other than Krishna, and I'm not speaking like externally, obviously, you know, you have husbands and wives, but I'm talking about like internally, the mood. If we think that someone else is our worshipful deity, the person we must be faithful to other than Krishna, and of course, Krishna's representatives, and Krishna's mission, and Krishna's books, and Krishna's instructions, then, in one sense, we're unchaste. So, Sukanya here is showing the utmost in chastity. Actually, she's probably showing more dedication and more freedom from lust than her husband. Because she's not getting bewildered by these other men. She just is dedicated to her husband. So that she's a better example than Chaivana Muni in this particular case. And of course, there's many other examples of chaste women in Vedic history. There's this interesting, of course, Radharani is the most chaste. The most chaste. And there's this very interesting story, if we have time to tell it, that once upon a time, Krishna wanted to prove that Radharani was the most chaste lady in Vrindavan. So Krishna got sick, and the only thing that would cure him is if water was brought from the Yamuna. There's two versions of the story. One is that someone has to cross the Yamuna on some hair, and the other version that I'm more familiar with is that someone had to bring water from the Yamuna, carrying the pot on their head, but the pot had like hundreds of holes in it. And that lady who could do it was the most chaste lady. All right. So before Radharani tried it, you had Kutila and Jatila. That is Radharani's so-called mother-in-law and sister-in-law. So they thought, you know, I'm chaste. They probably are pretty chaste because nobody would marry them or be attracted to them. They're quite unattractive. Of course, Jatila was married, but I mean, Kutila, there's no mention that Kutila was married at all. And if you go to Yavat, you see their deities. I was just there, actually. And the deities are not at all attractive. You know, like, usually I'm attracted to deities, but not those deities. So you had Jatila and Kutila. So Jatila and Kutila, I forget which one went first. they thought, you know, we're chaste. And so they took this pot, put it on their head, and they got sopping wet. Because not that they just carry the pot in their hands, you know, they put the pot on their head. You know, that's how ladies carry pots in India. And so all this water is all over them. And they obviously weren't so chaste. And it's a pastime. And then both of them, the same thing happened. And then Radharani went to the Jamuna River, and she collected, and she was just, you know, chaste and dedicated, praying to Krishna like that. And Krishna just like manifested himself and plugged up all the holes with his hands, you know, inside the pot or something like that. And she was able to carry that water. And she proved that she was the most chaste lady. So that's proof Radharani is the most chaste lady. Famous story, of course. And there's other very chaste ladies. And then, and the chastity, another point is, I really think this is important, that chastity doesn't mean that the wife never disagrees with the husband. The wife can give the husband instructions and still be chaste. And the typical example of that is Mandodari. Mandodari was married to our friend Ravana. And Ravana, you know, he had some issues, like kidnapping girls and things like that. But, and she would give him instruction continually. Give back Sita. And she was considered to be one of the most chaste ladies ever. I mean, in a Vedic marriage sacrifice, you actually recite Ravana and Mandodari, their names. So a chaste wife also can give the husband good instruction. A chaste wife can also liberate the husband if the chaste wife is more advanced than the husband. So it's not that chastity, you know, you say a man says to his wife, you should be chaste. In other words, just listen to me and shut your mouth and behave yourself. Isn't it sometimes? The men say that. To be chaste. Keep your mouth quiet. Just go to the kitchen and cook. So chastity means dedication to the welfare of someone whom you're loyal to. You know, I'm using chastity in the sense of loyalty in this particular. And that means telling the person, giving the person good instructions. Like if, let's say the man is driving a car and there's a danger, something's coming, and he doesn't see another car coming that's going to hit him and kill everybody in the car. The wife shouldn't think, you know, I'm supposed to be chaste and not say anything to my husband, to my Pati Dev. Pati Dev means, anyway. So, and then they both die. Is that chastity? Anyway, this is what chastity is. There's many other examples, and of course, Lakshmi. Oh, one other funny story about chastity is Lakshmi was so chaste to her husband, Lord Narayan, Vishnu, that when she saw her Lord Nrisingadev, Prabhupada said this one time, that she didn't recognize it was her husband. One of the reasons she didn't go was because he was fearsome. Another reason is that the first thing, she didn't say, how could that be my husband? I've never seen him like that before. So therefore, that's another reason why Lakshmi didn't approach Nrisingadev, according to Prabhupada. Okay, we have about 10 seconds left.
Yeah. I heard a long time ago here on this planet about the king when they left the whole kind of battle of all those seas, another king,
yeah,
they have to give their women a medal or a lock on their underwear just so
that may have been Europe, but not that's not just it. No, what a question. Oh my God. This.